First, it's the Week in Washington, where we take a look at some of the nation's top political stories. We're on day three of confirmation hearings for President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Talks for additional stimulus legislation continue after mixed messages from the president. And we're just under 3 weeks away from Election Day, with a deadly pandemic continuing to have a major impact on the race. And here, there may not be a debate this week as initially scheduled, but there is still an opportunity to see both candidates, either of them, I guess, on TV in primetime tomorrow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you planning to watch the second presidential debate? Did you have more you wanted to learn or see after the last one? Are you planning to watch these two town halls on different major TV networks? Will you watch simultaneously? Build your own debate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Adam Wolner is a political editor for McClatchy, focusing on the 2020 presidential race. He hails originally from Grafton, Wisconsin. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, good to have you back in Wisconsin. Now, the president returned in person to the campaign trail this week, earlier than expected based on the timing of his announcement of being diagnosed with COVID-19 and CDC guidelines for quarantining. What is he doing, and what have we heard from his doctors about whether it's okay?
Yeah, he's trying to the best of his ability to get back to normal here now that we're less than 3 weeks out from the election. You know, despite his relatively recent COVID diagnosis, returning to the campaign trail here with a pretty busy schedule. You know, he's had a rally scheduled every day so far this week, and will continue to do that here through the weekend. According to his doctor, you know, he said that he is no longer contagious, has since tested negative for coronavirus, so says that it is safe for him to be out here and doing rallies. Of course, you know, it's difficult to ignore that at a lot of these rallies that we've seen so far in Florida and in Pennsylvania, they are packing in a lot of attendees here. They may not be all that close to the president himself, but the attendees themselves are very closely packed to close to each other. You're not seeing a lot of social distancing, not seeing a lot of masks. And we've heard some public health experts raise some concerns there about that potentially spreading coronavirus here. But the way Donald Trump sees it, he's down in the polls here. Things are not going in the right direction. And from his perspective, staying in Washington, maybe resting up a little bit more isn't going to do him any good. He needs to get out there and rally his voters to get out and cast a ballot for him before November 3rd.
For both campaigns, where do we see the candidates showing up?
You know, really throughout the course of this campaign, there have really been sort of a core group of battleground states. You know, of course, there's the big three sort of in the Great Lakes area, Wisconsin being among them, Michigan, Pennsylvania, those three states that President Trump was able to take from the Democratic column after decades. Though that has really been the focus for both campaigns, Trump keeping those in his column, and for Joe Biden and the Democrats, flipping those back for both of them. You know, that's sort of the easiest way to get back to those 270 electoral votes you need in order to win. Of course, there are your traditional sort of perennial battleground states such as Florida, North Carolina, that have a lot of electoral votes up for grabs. And then you also have some states out west, such as Arizona, sort of a newly emerging battleground state there, where demographics are quickly changing in a state that used to be very reliably Republican, now looks to be a toss-up. Those have sort of been the core six throughout the campaign, and that's where you've seen both Biden and Trump put most of their resources in terms of ad spending, in terms of physical travel to those states. Of course, a lot of other states have sort of come onto the map and look like they may be competitive as well. Looking across the Midwest, you have states like Iowa and Ohio. Further south, states like Georgia and Texas, but really it's going to kind of come down to those core six, and particularly, you know, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. I think those are what a lot of members of both parties are looking at as the tipping point states for both candidates.
And candidates aren't just trying to mix things up based on geography. They're slicing and dicing demographically. You wrote a piece about appeals to Catholic voters in the United States. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting group, given that, you know, normally if you take a look at Catholic voters as a whole, they often are fairly split politically, and when you specifically look at the white Catholic vote, they have leaned Republican in recent elections, but they particularly swung towards President Trump in 2016, and that's a group that is very prominent in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. They make up a good chunk of the electorate there. But Joe Biden himself is Catholic and has really made an appeal that we haven't seen from a lot of Democratic presidential candidates in the past to these voters, and that's a group, you know. Even if he doesn't necessarily win them, doesn't win a majority of them, just making inroads into a group that really helped elevate Donald Trump 4 years ago could go a long way towards swinging the results in the Midwest.
It's our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. Adam Olner is with us, political editor for McClatchy. He's focusing on the 2020 presidential race. So are we, at least at the outset here. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're still undecided, what do you want to hear from either or both candidates? Where do you think, if you want to play political strategist, where in the nation do you think the candidates should focus their attention? Your candidate, maybe? What groups should they be trying to appeal to? Do you wish we had two more debates as originally planned? Looks like they're not happening now. Do you plan to watch one or, through the power of tape delay, both of these town hall events tomorrow night? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Adam, we were supposed to have a debate tomorrow night. We're not. They tried to change the rules to account for one of the candidates having had COVID-19 and do a virtual debate. President Trump declined. So now what are we getting tomorrow night?
So we're going to have some dueling town hall events here on NBC and ABC, Joe Biden from Philadelphia and Donald Trump from Miami. And so, you know, it certainly will present a bit of a challenge for voters that these town hall events are happening at the exact same time on the same night. So, as you mentioned, they may have to flip back and forth a little bit if they want to get a perspective from both of the candidates. But yeah, ultimately, following President Trump's coronavirus diagnosis, the Presidential Debate Commission tried to move that original debate that was scheduled for Miami tomorrow to a virtual event. Donald Trump's campaign declined to do that. And after those plans fell apart, we moved to these town halls. You know, I think there's sort of two ways to look at it. On the one hand, you know, voters won't get to see President Trump and Joe Biden on the same stage together, you know, sort of being able to hash out their differences as we saw a few weeks ago. But, you know, I think a lot of voters also saw that first debate as not being very productive with a lot of, you know, talking over each other and hurling insults and maybe didn't end up learning all that much about either of them. So maybe with this format, where the candidates are going to be taking questions directly from voters there, maybe we'll glean a little more insight into where the candidates are. But yeah, we're not going to get the typical three presidential debates that we normally get in a general election this time around.
Yeah, and a lot of people are looking at how this ended up happening with each of these town halls at exactly the same time on the same night and wondering if the media decisions here are serving the public as best they could.
Yeah. There's been some reporting out today about kind of the decision from the two separate networks, particularly from NBC, since ABC, which is hosting the Biden town hall, had already been scheduled in Miami. The NBC hosted town hall in Miami. They decided to go at the same time. But again, you know, I think, you know, the way that the media is distributed now, if voters really want to be able to see both events, that they'll be able to catch them one way or another, whether it's, you know, even if they can only watch one live, they can go and watch the video clips afterwards or the other, or read, you know, one of the many write-ups that I'm sure will be available this evening from newspapers across the country.
Outside of the race for president in election 2020, obviously a lot of other campaigns going on. What are some key races you are watching around the country right now?
Well, outside of the presidential race, you know, this is sort of played second fiddle, but, you know, the control of the Senate is very much up for grabs. And that's going to be very critical because, you know, if things go the way the polls are suggesting right now, and, you know, Joe Biden does ultimately win the presidency and Democrats are able to hold on, if not even expand their House majority, the result of that, that Senate majority could be critical. If Democrats are able to win the necessary seats, they could have full control of Washington by the time we get to 2021. A lot of competitive Senate races across the country, many of them are Republican-held seats, which is part of the reason why they're on defense here. You have some states out west in Arizona and Colorado where our Republican incumbents are in some really tough races. You look across the map to Iowa, Georgia, Maine, Montana, North Carolina, all of these Republican-held Senate seats that they're are really having some difficulty holding on to right now. And that's in large part because Democratic candidates across the country are just raising record-shattering amounts of money. I mean, really just unprecedented amounts of money for some of these Senate campaigns, allowing them to cut even into Republican-leaning states here in the following weeks. So it's going to be, a really important battle, even though, naturally the presidential race gets top billing and gets a lot of the attention. Which way the Senate goes this fall as well is going to have huge implications for, sort of what the federal government looks like in a few months.
We're talking to political editor Adam Wallner from McClatchy. It's The Week in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on tomorrow's non-debate. And coming up, we'll look at, yes, another effort, more talks about a possible COVID-19 stimulus package or relief package, big, small, none, somewhere in between. What do you want to see come out of the House, the Senate, and the White House when it comes to any kind of extended COVID-19 economic relief? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We're talking to political editor Adam Wallner from McClatchy again. You can continue the conversation. Join in coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Adam Wallner, political editor with McClatchy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning to watch either or both of the town halls airing at the same time tomorrow night with former Vice President Joe Biden, current President Donald Trump? Do you wish there were more debates? Are you happy there are no more debates? Should Congress tackle some stimulus? What should it look like, do you think? What would help you? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Sandra is with us in Mount Pleasant. Sandra, hi.
Hi. I won't watch President Trump because I'm going to say it honestly. He lies too much. Now he's changing in the last week on a dime about the stimulus and everything else just to gain votes. He's acting like the coronavirus is not dangerous. He received treatment that no one else will receive. He had mild symptoms, and apparently he got treatment that someone would have to be really almost on their deathbed to receive. And most people aren't going to be able to afford that kind of treatment. So to hear him lie and say, oh, yes, I've wanted a stimulus bill. Oh, don't worry about coronavirus.
Gotcha, Sandra. A lot to work with there, Adam. And let's focus on the stimulus now. As our caller mentioned, the president had said over the course of the last week, no stimulus until after the election, then focused targeted stimulus on, I think, airlines and a couple other specifics, and then go big or go home. He said he wanted bigger packages than either the House or Senate were currently looking at. How are those mixed messages playing out in Congress?
Right. About it, as you would expect here, that they're not really getting anywhere when they're getting those sort of mixed messages from the White House. Certainly in Congress, Republicans, Democrats were already going to have their fair share of differences to work through. But now that sort of the top kind of lieutenant in the White House responsible for negotiating this with House Democratic leadership in particular are seemingly getting new marching orders every day, it makes it difficult here to reach any sort of agreement with the election fast approaching. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said just today that it's looking very unlikely that they will reach any sort of agreement here before the election. And after the election, then, you know, it's a brand new ball game at that point, even though, you know, the current administration in Congress will still continue to serve through January. You know, the political dynamic will totally change in the lame duck once we have an idea of, you know, who won the presidency and who's going to control both chambers of Congress. So at this point, you know, it's looking less and less likely that there's going to be any sort of significant stimulus deal here before the election.
Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Anita now in Grays Lake. Anita, hi. Oop, Anita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just wanted to know for the debate on the 22nd, if Trump's people have agreed to the new rules for the debate or not.
You know, that is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that, Adam. Do you?
No, we don't yet. At the moment, that debate is also sort of still in flux. You know, it's possible that could be potentially moved back. That, of course, you know, at that point, we're not going to have much time because that following week after that debate is scheduled is when Election Day would take place. So at this point, that one is still very much up in the air. And I would imagine that the campaigns will be negotiating that with the debate commission once we kind of get on the other side of these Thursday night town halls and start looking forward into next week. So, you know, as of right now, it is still scheduled. Whether or not the candidates will show up and what that actually looks like, that also needs to be worked out.
Thanks a lot for that call. Great question at 800-642-1234. Talking to Adam Wolner, political editor with McClatchy, looking at some of the top stories this week in national politics. Adam, let's turn to the other big story now, of course, the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. What have you taken away so far over the last 3 days?
Yeah, well, you know, it's certainly a unique set of circumstances where heading into the confirmation hearings, there isn't very much drama in terms of whether or not Amy Coney Barrett is actually going to become the next Supreme Court justice, unless, you know, something really, you know, major happens here over the course of the next couple of days. She certainly has the vote she needs in the Senate to be confirmed. Every Republican, but two so far, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, have said that that they will vote to confirm her. And if for her not to get confirmed, you would need another two Republicans to vote against her, given the current makeup of the Senate, assuming all Democrats vote against her. And really, you know, this fight has so much centered around the process and sort of the method by which she has been nominated rather than her actual qualifications itself. Because going into these hearings, we pretty much knew how every senator was going to vote based on whether or not they thought it was appropriate for the Senate to confirm a Supreme Court justice so close to the election. So certainly, you know, this week with the hearings and from the questioning we've been getting from the senators has certainly been overshadowed by a lot of that. So far, you know, you're getting sort of the usual line of conservative questioning from Senate Republicans. Senate Democrats are very focused on trying to keep healthcare at the fore. That's an issue they want to keep at the center of this election, trying to press her on her views on the Affordable Care Act in particular, because they're trying to anticipate it once she does join the court, if the future of the Affordable Care Act would potentially be in jeopardy. But yeah, otherwise, you know, kind of devoid of drama in terms of whether or not she's actually going to be confirmed, which even in this, you know, very partisan environment is not the norm for a Supreme Court nominee.
Let's go back to our callers. Mary is with us in Pewaukee. Mary, hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on. I did want to just say that I already voted. I would be watching Biden on the town hall meeting. There was a wonderful special last week with actually CNN, if I can say that on the air or
sure,
bleep it out. But yeah, and it was wonderful because I got to know Biden and I got to know what all of his plans are for when he does win. And it looks like a blue tsunami. I say vote him out. The bullying, the interrupting, it's been an embarrassment. It's been, you know, hard to take, hard to, and very stressful for, I think, all of us the citizens with the divisive.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. I've seen people throw around the phrase blue tsunami looking at the polling. I'm guessing neither party is going to look at the polls and put this one to bed just yet, Adam.
No. You know, even Democrats, you know, who have certainly been happy with the news of the polling and a lot of the fundraising that we've seen, a lot of the fundamentals seem to be suggesting good news for Democrats. But they are certainly, you know, not taking anything for granted. The memory of 2016 still haunts them when Hillary Clinton also held a big lead in a lot of the polls heading into the election, and Donald Trump was able to pull off a big upset. A lot of reasons to think that 2020 will be different, but Democrats in particular are urging their voters to cast those ballots early, whether by mail or at early voting locations. So yeah, certainly no one is ready to firmly predict what is going to happen on November 3rd. But I do think it is fair to say at this stage in the race, you'd probably rather be in Joe Biden's position than Donald Trump's.
Thanks a lot for that call. Adam, in our last minute or so, what are you watching for in the next week in national politics?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see as more of the early voting numbers come in, how much of an advantage Democrats are able to build going into the election day. Obviously, over the course of the last few months, a lot of states, Wisconsin included, you know, changed some of their rules to allow people to vote early or by mail due to the coronavirus pandemic. And that's something Democrats have really been pushing their voters to do, to cast their ballots as soon as possible, you know, request one by mail, go to an early voting location and get that vote banked. Whereas Republicans aren't pushing that as much and are really going to have to count on high turnout on election day itself in order to make up for those gains. So I'll be watching as those numbers continue to come in from states across the country in the coming days and weeks, how much of an advantage Democrats are able to build from the early vote and whether or not that is ultimately insurmountable for Republicans on election day.
Adam, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
That's Adam Molnar, political editor for McClatchy. We talked to them for our weekly look at the top stories in national politics, looking at the latest on presidential campaigns, just under 3 weeks to go until Election Day.